And let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, it is a blessed day when we come into thy house. And Lord, we have been blessed this morning to have come together and to worship thee and to hear thy precious word of life. And we thank thee for that. We thank thee for the meal that we had and the times that we had together with our families. And Lord, now, as we have assembled again, with thy word before us, we pray a blessing upon our coming together. We long to hear from thee, O Lord, and pray for thy spirit, that he would be here amongst us. And may that word come to each of our hearts and lead us into the truths of who thou art, Lord, and that we would fashion our life after thee. So bless us, one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, and I'd like to read the first verse of chapter 7 also. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14 through verse 1 of chapter 7. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. May he bless us. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says, for us to be renewed in our mind, in the spirit of our mind, and that we would put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Apostle Paul is giving us a command here. It's not an option for a believer. It's a commandment to put on a new man and what that man is a new man that's created after God. Created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Here we read a verse that Apostle Paul is calling us to perfect holiness in the fear of God. If we read in the Gospel of Luke, in that song of Zacharias, a beautiful song that was written by Zacharias. He says that, he prophesied now of the coming of the Messiah, and he said that he will come, that we will be delivered out of the hand of our enemies. And our enemy is Satan. and that we would serve him without fear. And then he goes on, he says, serving without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. So Jesus came to deliver us from Satan's grip and power. And he came to give us the power to serve him in holiness and righteousness. Apostle Paul is encouraging us to put on that new man, that we would, that new man which is fashioned after God himself. Apostle Paul says here, you are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. This is a promise. But the promise comes under conditions. And those conditions are, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. He says, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Those are all commandments that are being given in order for him to be able to give us his promise. So those are the conditions under which his promise that he will indwell us are. And so, just as the man at the pool of Bethesda, we see a man who was impotent there for 38 years. And Jesus came to him, and he saw him. And Jesus came there knowing well before he got there who was going to be there. He knew what he was going to do. And he came to him, and he looked at him, and he healed him. He said, take up thy bed, rise. And like instantly, the man rose. And the Jews asked him, you're breaking the Sabbath. Here's a man who hasn't walked in 38 years, and the Jews are upset that he broke their law, because nowhere in the law does it say you cannot take up your bed and walk. This was their law. And they were upset that he had broken their law. And we see Jesus, though, he disappears. He walks away from them. And my point here is if we look at what Jesus did, he healed an impotent man. And you know, we so often focus all our prayers on illnesses, fleshly things. And it's not wrong. We need to take our petitions to the Lord. But he made this man whole. But that whole pool of Bethesda, all of the porches were filled with people that needed healing. He only healed the one. And he left the crowd. And it tells us that Jesus then finds him in the temple. Jesus sought that man, that same man, back out. He didn't reveal himself who he was to him. Because the man said, I don't know who it was, but the one who made me whole, he told me, take up your bed and walk. What, is he not going to listen to the man that just gave him his legs? So he obeyed him. But Jesus sought him back out. That's not the reason Jesus came, to heal him of his physical illness. That's not why he came. Because there's an entire porch of people that could have used his healing. We see in the previous chapter when Jesus goes to the well, he goes to the well knowing that there's going to be a woman there who is a sinner, who needs a Savior. He knew when he went into, in the same previous chapter to the pool of Bethesda, that he was going to come across a nobleman whose son is dying and will need a word from him to receive his life again. And it tells us that nobleman when he heard, when he was told, your son is alive, he believed him instantly. And he started to go home. When he got home, the servants are running to him and telling him, your son is alive. And he says, when did this happen? And he thought back, that's exactly when Jesus told him, your son is alive. And it says he believed him and his whole house. They believed in Jesus. The purpose of Jesus coming is not to make my life easy and your life easy. Because the world is under a curse. The entire world is under a curse. But he came to redeem us. He came to save us from our enemy and to impart unto us his holiness and his righteousness. And he gives us conditions for that. Because holiness, dear ones, is something that I believe each one of us can say that we have a desire to be holy. But what is holiness? You know, holiness is who God is. It says God is holy, and be ye holy. So holiness is the character of who he is. So how am I holy? What makes me holy? I have to, first of all, I have to be convicted of my sin. If I am not convicted of my sin, I can never be holy. I have to understand that my sin is ugly before a holy God. And if I am going to be holy, I have to hate that sin as well. And in that, so that's the that's where we have to surrender ourselves. Upon our, because many times we're convicted. And I'm speaking to us, brothers and sisters, as well. We are convicted many times. But do we act upon that conviction? Or do we excusify our mission, which is walking in sin and calling upon his mercy? You know, you and I need his mercy. We know his judgments are pure and righteous altogether, and his judgments frighten us because his judgments cannot be out of character of who he is. And his character is holiness. And so if a God who will judge me is holy, his judgment has to come from his holiness, meaning there's no room for sin. It can't abide in his presence. And so he came to deliver us so that we might live in holiness and righteousness. And he tells us here that I will dwell in them. And so if your body and my body is a temple of the indwelling Spirit of God, that means that the eyes that I look through are the eyes that Jesus looks through. What are you and I looking at? Is Jesus the indwelling Spirit? Is he willing to look through my eyes at what I'm looking at? Is he able to? Because if I claim that he is living in me, my ears have to be listening to things that he listens to. My hands need to move as his hands move. My feet, my mind, everything. It's a temple of the indwelling Spirit of God. He says, I will dwell in them and walk. I will walk in them. So this is that righteousness that he is calling us to. Perfecting holiness. He came, as we read in Ephesians, Paul says, created in righteousness. This is a new man after God. Created in righteousness and true holiness. And so the righteousness is that which you and I do. You know, you and I can do what is right and not be holy. I can do what is right coming out of my own will. I can make a a right decision. Let's say give up whatever it is. You know, I can name things, but it almost would appear then that if I name a thing, then that's all the only thing that we're talking about. I can come out of whatever sin I am in on my own will. I can do that. I can't come out of all my sin, because only God can empower me to do that. And when I say come out of all of my sin, what I mean is when Apostle Paul talks about what sin is, he talks about it as being lawlessness. But what James says sin is he elevates it to another level. He says, the one who knows to do good and doesn't do it, that's sin. You and I will be judged by a holy God for not doing what is right. Because the character of holiness, true holiness, if we are perfecting holiness in the fear of God, we will do what is right. When the indwelling Spirit of God lives within me and I move, and this temple is moving in unison with the Spirit, that is righteousness. The righteousness is what comes from the character of holiness, who I have become, the new man. As I've been convicted of my sin, I have surrendered my will to Him, and I operate in faith. The brother mentioned in the beginning of the prayer, and he said that this word, as the Bible tells us, the word divides asunder, divides the thoughts of a man. It clearly will show you and me if we are holy or not. Are we interested in knowing? Do we rely upon His word to instruct us and to create in us this new man? Because these verses that we read are, He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to believers. He's not giving instructions there to unbelievers. Although all unbelievers have the same instructions, because you cannot be a believer unless you live in that Spirit. And so He's reminding us, brothers and sisters, here of what we must do. Jesus didn't come to give me a life of wealth and pleasure and feel good and health, and He came to save me from the grip and the power of Satan and to create in me a new man. And so having therefore these promises, the promise that I will receive you, I will dwell in you, I will walk in you, I will be your God, you will be my people, you will be sons and daughters, I will be a father unto you. These are the promises. And so He says, you have these promises. Now, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. The only discerner of those thoughts is His holy word. It's His holy word that can separate those things in you and me. You know, I believe that we would love to hear a step-by-step thought of what is right. Is it the Apostle Paul that says, anything that is done outside of faith is sin? Anything outside of, if it's not in faith, it's in sin. So if there's any doubt of any kind in your heart or in your mind, should I go? Should I? No, you shouldn't. If there's a doubt, it's not in faith. You're not doing it under conviction. And we would love to hear someone tell me, oh, that's not wrong, so that we have a green light. And so that we don't have, and so we put to rest the thought within us that is our conscience that is working within us. We grieve the Spirit We quench the Spirit when we do anything that is not in faith. The Spirit that is given to us to guide us, we quench and grieve. Because we haven't cleansed ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfecting holiness and the fear of God. It is up to you and me to perfect holiness in the fear of God. God knows every thought. Just and I know we know that, but we have so many references in Scripture that tells us these things. That in Psalm 139 and verse 2 says, "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." And David goes on and says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up unto heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." And it goes on. And speaks of the greatness of our God. And so knowing that even before we utter a word, before it's spoken, God already knows it. And so if our thoughts are within us as we justify our actions, is that coming from a character of holiness? Because righteousness, not ours, because our righteousness is when I will to do something. I can give up a sin. I can quit. I can quit a sin and not do it anymore. It doesn't come from a character of holiness. Then it's my righteousness if it doesn't come from that. But if it comes from the holiness of the character, that new man that was created in Christ, then that's true righteousness. And so you and I can say, "I want to be holy." And you know, the thing is, what can really oftentimes, we are emotional people. Some of us are very emotional. And sometimes we can hear a word and we can hear how Christ suffered. We're moved. We can feel the moving within us, the emotion of what Christ endured for us, and we weep. And we're convinced. God is still with me. God is still with me. Because look, I wept. In my heart was breaking for what had happened to my Lord. And I have no desire to change my ways. And we're deceived, and we're not perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have a promise. "I will dwell in them. I will be their God. They will be my sons and daughters." And so Jesus came for that purpose and that purpose alone. That's it. What happened in the garden, the sin that came, the curse, all of the labor and all that life is as we live it is from fallen man and the curse when man was deceived and disobeyed a holy and a righteous God. And so, to make that right within our hearts and our lives, God is telling us, come out from among them. Be ye separate. And what does that mean to come out from among them? We don't enjoy the things that ungodly people enjoy. We can't, because keep in mind, Jesus is looking at those things. Jesus is listening to that. He's listening to it all because he's in me. So if I am the temple, if my body is the temple and God is in me, he is looking through my eyes wherever I go. Wherever my feet take me, I'm taking him. Can he go where I go? Can he darken the doorways that I darken? And so, when Jesus found that man in the temple, he told him, go and sin no more. This is the reason why Jesus came to the pool. Not to heal the man, but to tell him, you must pursue holiness. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing will come upon you. What can be worse than being an impotent man for 38 years? There probably are some things, but I believe that he's speaking of that separation and that judgment of God when we stand before him as a righteous and a holy judge. Go and sin no more. Pursue holiness as we have here, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is what Jesus came to tell me and to you. But not only that, he empowers us. And so Christ will empower you and empower me. Christ gave us his law. He gave us his strength. What excuse do you have? What excuse do I have? We have none. So then we just have, your brother spoke so much about truth this morning, and truth is just such, it's so beautiful. But sometimes it hurts. But it's the only thing that can cleanse. It's the only thing that can bring a change. It's truth and truth, because truth is the only thing that can take you and me out from that fallen state. Are we going to meet God in his holiness and in his truth here on this earth? Go and sin no more, Jesus told him. He tells that to me and to you. You heard about me? Go and sin no more. You want to learn about me? It's all in the revealed will of God. I came to reveal the Father. And so as Jesus came, he says, when you look at me, you've seen the Father. Do you realize that when we live a life of righteousness that is coming from a character of holiness, that we are depicting and showing Jesus Christ? Dear ones, we have the promise of God. We must act in faith. When we're convicted, we must surrender. And we must believe and trust in God and rely upon his power, and he will deliver us. And we will be a unique people. We'll be a holy nation. Ones that, as we read this morning, that the apostles and what they endured. Why? Because they saw that faith. They saw the things that couldn't be seen. To rejoice under such grave persecutions, they had eyes that you and I don't have if we're focused on the flesh. If we're focused on the Spirit, we'll see those things too. And we'll walk as they walked. How's that? In the power of the Spirit. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Jesus told his disciples shortly before his crucifixion that he would pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Later on, Jesus prays and acknowledges that to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ, this is eternal life. Having received these promises, there is a hunger and a thirst for the righteousness of God and for his kingdom. May we all be convicted and encouraged to, even as we have sung, leave off the things that displease the Lord and be ready for his return, which will shortly come to pass. May God bless his word to our hearts, that we might keep it and find God's blessing. Amen.